Good afternoon and welcome to the Click and Advisor podcast with me, Warren Thompson. I have the great pleasure today of welcoming Thulisile Nkomo, a private wealth manager with NFB Financial Services, to join me for the podcast. Good afternoon, Thulisile.
Hi, Warren. Thank you so much for the invite.
Nice to have a face in studio as opposed to doing a telephonic interview. Thulisile, let's begin with just your personal journey to becoming a financial advisor, an independent financial advisor. Just tell us a little bit about your background and how you came to deciding that you wanted to take your career forward in this particular field.
Thanks, Warren, for the question. I studied BCom Accounting because in school I was introduced to accounting and I believe that I want to be an accountant. I started accounting. In 2010, I worked for a company called NMG as a fund accountant. I still believe that I was made to do accounting, but I realized that it was limiting me in terms of client interaction. So I joined the company NFB as an administrator in 2013. When I joined the company, I joined as an administrator and I studied the postgrad diploma in financial planning with the University of Free State, where my journey started as a financial advisor. So I completed my postgrad diploma in financial planning in 2013.
Right.
And then 2014, I wrote my board exams with the FPI to be a certified financial planner. So I worked as an administrator for about 2 years. And then the next 2 years, I worked as a para planner who gives assistance to a financial advisor. And then 2016, that's where I became a certified financial planner with the FPI after I had my 3 years work experience. And I've been an advisor since then.
Okay, so you've formally qualified, you're a financial planner. What has surprised you about the job?
Sure. I thought it was easy. I thought you sell a client a product, then you just walk away. But what is nice about the job is you take clients on a journey. You get to know a client when they start working and you're taking them on a journey to retirement. So that for me is very nice, dealing with the client interaction. And it's very personal. It's not about just selling a product. It's giving advice. So sometimes you end up building relationships with those same clients.
So was that really what the part of the attraction was for you? Was this the client interaction gave you a greater degree of satisfaction than you would have got just working with numbers?
So I think my job at the moment, I get to change people's life, the way they see financial services, because where I grew up, my mom has a lot of funeral policies. I was exposed to risk planning where you are able to take care of your beneficiaries. If something happens to you, there is a life cover which you can take out to make sure that your children are taken care of. You're protecting yourself against disability. So all those products, I did not know anything about. I remember in 2015, I was sold that product, but I didn't even know what I was sold. So getting to understand all those products, the investments, before I joined the industry, I was the kind of person, if I put away 100 rands, I want to get 100 rands back. That's what I wanted. But the industry has shown me that there's more to it. You're changing people's lives. You're taking them on a journey. You're helping them, assisting them to get to retirement, making sure that they're protecting their wealth, protecting themselves against unforeseen events like death, disability, right, and dread disease. So that for me has been very nice. I've enjoyed that part, changing people's lives.
The course of studying these subjects that you've qualified now to become a financial advisor, did it give you pause for thought in the way you managed your own money?
True. So I think now, I recently became a mother, and I remember when I came back on maternity leave, the first thing I did was to review my policy to say, because previously I had my mom as a beneficiary. Now I had to think about my child. How do I make sure that I'm providing for my child? So that was important. I had to implement that, make the kind of business that we have, make sure that clients are taken care of, because we've got an estates planning division. So I had to draft a will, make sure that what I want for my child is provided for in the will, and make sure that there's sufficient cover to make sure if something happens to me, her education will be taken care of, my debts will be paid off. And that way, and also my parents would be taken care of, because I see with a lot of culture, there's something called black tax, which I don't see it as black tax, but it's looking after your community,
right,
or looking after your elders.
Your
so if something happens to me, I would want my child to be taken care of with the policy that I've taken out. So the finances would be there to make sure her education is taken care of. And when she's older, there'll be some money for her to just start a new life. So it's just making sure that I'm providing for her education. And if the unforeseen happens, she is taken care of. So those are the things that has made me change my life. I used to see insurance as a waste of money. I remember when I joined the company, I saw somebody paying a policy for $5,000. I said, this person is mad. How can they pay so much for risk cover? But as much as we like to protect our cars, we need to make sure that we're protecting our own assets, our ability to make an income, which is something that a lot of people are not doing, especially people who work on contracts. They don't see that they're happy to take more money home. They're not taking advantage of the benefits that they have to do, like taking out an IRA to make sure that you're providing for retirement, having group life benefits. You'd have to do that yourself. So taking out disability policies, severe illness, so that if something happens to you, there is some income to assist you to take care of yourself.
Okay, that's very important. You touched on wills, and I read the other day that the amount of people that actually have a will in the country is in the single digits, if I recall correctly. Why are we so averse to putting in place wills? Is it the psychological challenge of thinking about our own mortality and our own death and having to plan beyond that? Or why do you think it's just not something that's done as a almost like a course of business, like, as you pointed out, insuring your car? Or have you got any ideas why people are so loath to do a will?
I think my opinion is that people are not making as much money out of it. Therefore, it's not seen as a big sell or a big service that they want to give to clients. We want to make sure that our clients are taken care of, and whoever they want to benefit, actually benefit. My parents did not have a will. I had to assist them. So it's also boils down to education.
Right.
Our parents, some people are not really educated about such things. So if you don't know, you don't know what you don't know. So okay. It's when people, just because you don't have a lot of money doesn't mean that you can't have a will.
Right.
So people think that for you to have a will, you need to have a lot of money. So we changing mindset of our clients to say that although you might not have a lot, but you just want to make sure that your beneficiaries are benefiting in the event of your death.
Right. Okay.
So it boils down to distribution of wealth.
Okay, that's a very important point you make there about it not being sold because it doesn't pay a commission, etc., yeah, etc. You've had experience now working with clients. Let's start with their mistakes. What do you see are the most common mistakes people make in their personal financial affairs? You've talked about perhaps being undercovered.
Yeah. Where,
are there some other things there that you've picked up on that seems to be quite common?
Sure. So I think a lot of times I find that clients are just naturally nervous, which is normal. And when things are going well in the market, that's when people want to invest. But when times are hard, everybody wants out. But they forget about the proposal. It's all about, when we do a proposal for a client, it's all about your need, your time horizon, your risk profile, your investment objective. So when times are hard, people forget about that. So that's why we as a business need to make sure that we manage our clients' expectations. So the mistakes that they're making is when times are hard, they want to be in cash. But is that good? You need to remember we are on a journey, and the journey doesn't stop when times are hard. It continues. So we need to, as advisors, we need to remove emotions from clients. We need to remove emotions to assist our clients, because we need to be the ones, we need to be the conscience to say, we're in this for a long run. It's just not for 12 months. But like you said, you want us to take you to retirement. Therefore, don't worry. Leave it in my hands. If there's a need, we have discussions with the client that we recommend changes. But until then, we're happy for our clients to stay the course, stick to the investment objective or their goal.
So even in a tough market like this, what are kind of the asset classes that you recommend for people in their savings?
Sure. Interesting question, but you know, for me, it's not up to me to recommend an asset class because it depends on each individual investor.
Right.
Somebody who wants to invest for 12 months, obviously you'd want them to be overweight cash to give, because cash will give them that certainty. But for long term, you'd look at your equities, both locally and globally. Just because things are hard doesn't mean you shouldn't be invested. I find that a lot of times, at the shops, you're happy to buy a lot of stuff when they're on special. But you don't do that when it comes to investment. When things are down, when the market is down, people don't want to be in the market. They want to buy when they see growth in the market. So that's one of the common mistakes that they're making. So it all depends on the time, the age, the investment objective, and the goal of the client. So every client is different. But we at all times, we need to just keep in mind what the client wants.
Okay. That idea of using something like an equity market, which over the long term is the best asset class to use for people saving for a goal in 20 or 30 years' time, is that another one of the things that people don't fully appreciate, is the importance of putting your money into the right asset class based on the type of financial goal? Do you find that people are too conservative with their money? They prefer to see it, that more certainty in the short run than being able to accept the volatility that comes with investing in something like the stock market over the long run. Is that another common perhaps misperception of investors, is that they prefer certainty over volatility, whereas the volatility serves them well in the long term?
Unfortunately, it just boils down to educating the client. So I think what's important as financial advisors is that we need to educate our clients about the different asset classes. That although the equity market might be down in a short term, but over time it has proven to outperform other asset classes. So what's very important for us is educate the client. Because you as a client come to me and say, I want to invest for 5 years. You can't come in 6 months' time and say, my investment is down. So it's all about educating the client and managing the expectations, which for us is very important.
And that's been particularly tough of late because the performance from the markets hasn't been great. I think it's been true. Sideways or marginally negative.
I think for the past 3 years, we've seen the JSE, it's been mute. It has went nowhere. So a lot of clients, I remember the other day, a client said, my Nespers is doing well. Don't you think I should invest? I said, you have some exposure through unit trust funds. So it's the noise that the media makes. It's all about the noises which the investors are hearing, which actually influences their decision or their doubt in financial advisors. I think we need to... The service that we sell to our client, we need to sell, it's trust, which is priceless. So they need to trust us, and we will be able to assist them to achieve their financial goal.
What are your clients most worried about, or what keeps them up at night?
The risk of not having enough money for retirement, because half the time, especially with young people, they job hop, and when they job hop, they don't preserve their pension funds or provident funds.
Right.
So what they do is they cash it, and close to retirement, the person realizes, oh my God, I'm close to retirement. So that is very scary. So people are not thinking about retirement. So a lot of people, especially those that are close to retirement, are worried, how are they going to survive through retirement? And others, they worry about, if I die too soon, are my kids going to be taken care of? Or if I'm disabled, how am I going to survive? How am I going to pay off for all these debts? So those are the things that are keeping the clients awake. The increased cost of living at retirement and the medical aid. If you look at medical aid, over time, for the past few years, has increased more than inflation.
Right.
So increased medical cost. And some clients at retirement might have to depend on the state. I say to my client, you're earning $20,000 now. Will you survive on a grant from a government? So those are the things that we constantly have to remind them that this, you can actually prevent this by making sure that you start saving early.
Okay. We wanted to see, we wanted to get your perspective on how you've, the types of, really the process that you undertake with clients. Lead us through from the first meeting where you meet a prospective or potential client. What is the process that you guys as a firm and a, as a financial planner follow to get to, before you get to the solutions and the recommendations that you make to them?
So thanks for the question. So the first thing we do is we meet the client, especially with new clients. We meet them, we get all their details, their assets, their retirement funds, because sometimes people don't think the retirement funds is actually assets. So the retirement funds, their debts, their assets, and then from there, we discuss with the client to say, what is your investment objective? What do you want out of this? And from there, we take the information, we go back, and then we assess to make sure. So we look at everything. Does the client have a will? Is the client saving for retirement? So we do the retirement planning, we do risk planning and investment planning, as well as retirement planning. I'm not sure if I said that, but we also do that. So we'll do all that. So we'll analyze all that to say to a client, okay, at retirement, how much would you like to retire? How much would you like to receive as an income? We ask the client, if you had to be disabled, how much would you like to receive as an income? If you had to die, how much would you like to leave as an income to your partner or to your family? And then from there, we do the proposal, we do the analysis to look at the client's client's portfolio at death, how they're going to, their portfolio at death, their position at death, at retirement, as well as at the investment objective, if what they want to achieve is doable. Then we do quotes for them. So we don't charge a fee for planning. So we come on risk. So we'll do the proposal and say, this is your shortfall at retirement. This is your shortfall at disability. We'll, and then in terms of retirement, this will come with a recommendation to say, we recommend that you start maybe an IRA or maybe a tax-free savings account. So we'll do the quotes and come to the client. So this is your financial position.
Right.
At death, retirement, and disability. This is what we recommend. It is going to be up to the client to say, I accept your recommendation or walk away. So we don't charge clients for coming to. And if the client is happy, then the client will sign the proposal and the apps, and then we submit to the institution. And then at a later stage, we send them the statements. So everything is disclosed up front.
Okay. So you're not taking a fee for the advice, for the actual financial planning?
So that happens. So that is in the quotes. So the products that we offer to the client factor that. So we're an asset-based fee company that charges a percentage of assets.
Okay.
And a management. And then you get other products like risk products, which is upfront fee structure.
Okay.
So that's how that is factored.
Okay, great. All right. Are there, I guess the switch between or the share between assets that are invested outside of South Africa and investments in South Africa, is there a hard and fast rule that you look at there? You know, if you have a person that's saving for retirement, you say to them, well, roughly, you know, if you expect to live in South Africa upon retirement, you should invest roughly 60% of your, or keep 60% of your investments exposed to the rand and South African investments, and 40% to offshore markets. Is there any hard and fast rules that you apply there?
No, there isn't. It all depends on the client. Some clients just 100% offshore, and then you find other clients that are invested in retirement savings already have the 25% offshore. But a lot of clients, it's either they'll ask for it, but otherwise it just depends on the client's long-term horizon and their investment goals. So if client is long-term, because of global market being volatile, you'd expect the client, you'd want a client to save for long-term in those asset class, because offshore investments remain volatile at times.
Okay, all right, great. In just kind of like in closing now, because I know we've been going a little while, What would you say is the most, in terms of the priority? So now, if you as a financial advisor with your child, what are the rules about money? Maybe five rules for money that you would like to teach your child.
Sure.
In the process of growing up. So obviously assuming that he or she doesn't become a financial advisor themselves, what in terms of your legacy about managing money would you like to give them?
So with my child, the first thing I'm going to teach her is start saving early. It can be 500. It doesn't matter, but start saving early. So I'll teach her to save. And I'll teach her to live for tomorrow, because half the times people are living for today.
Right.
So you save now and you look at yourself. If she's a young professional, she needs to protect herself. So she needs to make sure she's protecting her assets, be it a car insurance, her health. So that I will teach her to do as well. And allow the advisor to actually give you the advice, because they are professionals. They have the knowledge. Hence, people go to them. So a lot of times people are, they don't want to pay an advisor, or they don't want to go to an advisor. They prefer to do it themselves, but it's better to go to somebody that will assist you.
Does that help take the emotion out of the money by talking to an advisor?
I think so. I think it's better that way. It gives you peace of mind. You sleep, let the advisor do the worrying about your money, not yourself. So trust the advisor. They have the knowledge. And very important is to keep the client's need before your own. It's not about the money, but it's about the journey that you take the clients and the education that you give to that person who does not know much about the financial market as much as they say they do. But what's important is educate the clients. That is very important for me.
Okay, great. We're going to have to leave it there. Thank you very much for your time, Thule Sile.
Thank you so much.
That was Thule Sile Nkomo, Private Wealth Manager at NFB Financial Services. And that is the end of our Click and Advisor podcast. You can catch the rest of these podcasts on the MoneyWeb website. Goodbye for now.